Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. If you enjoy the teachings from Beth Emmanuel, share the links with your friends. Like us on Facebook and tell your friends about the things you are learning at Beth Emmanuel. Help us grow the message.
The Apostle Peter says the disciples of Yeshua are to be a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Yeshua the Messiah. 1 Peter 2:5. In this equation, Yeshua is the high priest ushering our spiritual sacrifices to God. But what are these spiritual sacrifices? The priesthood offered daily sacrifices on behalf of the whole nation. The priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle, performing the divine worship. Hebrews 9:6. Every morning they offered up a lamb as a burnt offering, as the first sacrifice of the day. It was a gift to God from the whole nation of Israel. Throughout the rest of the day, they received the sacrifices brought by people drawing near to God in His holy place. Finally, at the conclusion of the day, they offered up another lamb as a burnt offering, as the last sacrifice of the day, on behalf of the nation. The next morning, they cleared the ashes, restoked the fire, and started all over again. The daily routine of sacrifices established a regular rhythm of worship and continually testified that God's dwelling presence is in the midst of His people. The smoke rose continually from the altar. The flames never died out. Fire shall be kept burning continually on the altar. It is not to go out. Leviticus 6:13. The continual burnt offering continually reminded the people of God's continual presence. Awareness of God's presence is the first step in acquiring the fear of the Lord. The death and resurrection of Yeshua did not cancel the sacrifices. Our Master's sacrifice atones for sin in the heavenly temple, the true sanctuary above, not made with hands. He who was without sin became a heavenly sin offering on behalf of Israel and all those who repent and call upon His name for the forgiveness of sins. Despite that spiritual truth, Yeshua's death does not replace the Levitical sacrifices. Those are offered here on earth, year after year, day after day. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins, but the suffering of Yeshua does. He died once to put away sin. All of this is explained in the book of Hebrews. If the death and resurrection of Yeshua did not cancel the sacrifices, why don't Jewish people offer sacrifices today? It's not because Yeshua died and rose from the dead. It's because the people failed to heed His warnings and repent. The temple was destroyed and the nation went into exile because the people did not repent. The sacrifices ceased because the Torah prohibits making sacrifices in any other place than God's sanctuary in Jerusalem. At that time, the Jewish people looked for things that they could do to substitute for the absence of the sacrifices. No longer able to bring the offerings required by the Torah, and no longer able to offer up sacrificial gifts to the Lord, the sages sought some substitutes. They suggested that studying Torah, daily prayer, gifts of charity, and acts of loving kindness might all be offered before God as substitutes for the sacrificial services. This can be compared to a married couple who always went to the same restaurant to celebrate their wedding anniversary. It was the same restaurant at which they ate on their honeymoon, and they liked to return there every year to relive the experience. They would even order the same food from the menu that they ordered that first time. One day, they returned to find that the restaurant had closed. At first, they felt devastated. How could they celebrate their anniversary? Then they reminded each other that the meal at the restaurant only symbolized their love and their relationship, which continued undiminished and was best expressed in their goodness to one another. Likewise, the sacrifices symbolized prayer, thanksgiving, worship, fealty, obedience, and covenant relationship with God. Those things all continue, with or without sacrifices, and it was toward those things that the Jewish people turned. The story of Cornelius, the Roman soldier, illustrates the idea of offering substitutes for sacrifice, or what Peter referred to as spiritual sacrifices. Cornelius was a Roman centurion of the Italian cohort stationed in the coastal city of Caesarea. King Herod the Great built that city to be a little Rome away from Rome, with all the idolatry of the Roman Empire on display. Nevertheless, the city had a significant Jewish population. The Jewish king, King Herod Agrippa, also kept his palace there. That's probably how Cornelius, the Roman, was first introduced to Judaism and the God of Israel. He wanted to worship the God of Israel, but he had a problem. Since he was not Jewish, he could not worship the God he now served with sacrifices and offerings as he had done for the Roman gods. As a Gentile, he could not enter the temple further than the court of the Gentiles. He couldn't get near the altar. He might have felt discouraged if he had not read Solomon's prayer for the Gentiles seeking God. 1 Kings 8:41 through 43 says, "Also concerning the foreigner who is not of your people Israel, when he comes from a far country for your name's sake, for they will hear of your name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. And when he comes and prays toward this house, hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name, to fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know this house which I have built is called by your name." Cornelius was one of those foreigners who came to fear the Lord, just as Solomon predicted. The book of Acts describes him as a devout man who feared God. He knew the fear of the Lord. God exists, and he punishes sin and rewards righteousness. Cornelius taught the fear of the Lord to his whole household. He followed Solomon's instructions and worshiped the God of Israel, praying toward his house in Jerusalem daily at the times of sacrifice. He could not offer sacrifices in the temple, but he could offer up his prayers and give charity. The book of Acts says he gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. One afternoon, as he prayed at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, an angel appeared to him and said, "Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God." The sacrificial language is significant because, as a God-fearing Gentile, Cornelius could not enter the temple to offer sacrifices himself. Nevertheless, the Lord received his prayers and acts of charity upon the heavenly altar as spiritual sacrifices. To compensate for the absence of the daily temple service, the sages recommended that Jewish people study the Torah's laws of sacrifice every day. Towards that end, the daily synagogue prayers are prefaced with a recitation of the story of the sacrifice of Isaac, Genesis 22, and a series of passages about the daily sacrifices offered in the temple. Judaism considers Torah study, and Bible study in general, to be the highest form of worship because it focuses the mind on Hashem. We can find a proof for this idea in Hosea 6:6, where the Lord says, "I delight in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." It's not as if the two are mutually exclusive. It only means that there is an order of preference. If we could either learn the knowledge of God or offer a burnt offering but not do both, God prefers that we acquire the knowledge of God. Through knowledge of God, we enter relationship with Him, and knowledge is acquired in part through the study of the Scriptures. Therefore, the study of Torah can be understood to compensate for the sacrifices. Every disciple of Yeshua should try to engage in daily Bible study. If at all possible, we should make it the first priority of the day. Think of yourself like the priesthood that rose before dawn to prepare the altar for the day's sacrifices. They had to clear the ashes, gather the coals, and add wood to the fire to stoke it up. Only when the fire was burning hot and bright was it ready to receive the daily sacrifices. Daily Bible study accomplishes the same thing by firing up our hearts and focusing our minds on the things of the Lord. Before getting swept up into the business of the day, attend to the altar. Time spent in morning Bible study brings us into God's presence and reminds us of His presence for the rest of the day. Solomon's Book of Wisdom says, "He who rises early to seek wisdom will have no difficulty, for he will find her sitting at his gates." The passage goes on to say that one who seeks her early has his thoughts fixed upon her. Therefore, she graciously appears to them in their paths and meets them in every thought. The beginning of wisdom is the sincerest desire for instruction. Wisdom 6:14-17. To compensate for the absence of the daily temple service, the sages recommended that Jewish people engage in prayer, reciting the temple liturgy every day at the times appointed for sacrifice. They learned this from Daniel, who prayed toward Jerusalem 3 times daily. Daniel was an exile living in Babylon. Even if he could have returned to Jerusalem, he could not have offered sacrifices. King Nebuchadnezzar had castrated him, disqualifying him from offering sacrifices in the temple. And not long after that, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem and the temple along with it. Nevertheless, Daniel found inspiration in the words of Isaiah. "Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from his people,' nor let the eunuch say, 'Behold, I am a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, and choose what pleases me, and hold fast to my covenant. To them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off." Isaiah 56:3-5. Daniel took this obligation to pray at the 3 times of daily prayer so seriously that he risked his life for it. When King Darius made a law forbidding the worship of any god other than himself for 30 days, Daniel ignored it and went on with his daily habit of prayer. He feared God more than he feared man. He entered his house. Now in his roof chamber he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been previously doing. Daniel 6:10. The sages said that the Lord receives prayer as a substitute for sacrifice, and they cited a passage from Hosea as a proof. "Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, 'Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, that we may present the parim, the bulls of our lips,'" or you can read it, "the fruit of our lips." The Aramaic translation of Hosea 14 verse 3 paraphrased it, "Let the words of our lips be accepted before you with favor, like bullocks on your altar." According to Jewish teaching, the act of prayer compensates for the loss of the sacrifices, and the daily times of prayer with their prescribed liturgy substitute for the daily continual burnt offerings. The writer of Hebrews pointed to the same proof text regarding sacrifice and prayer to suggest that in the absence of access to the temple, the Jewish disciples should offer sacrifices of prayer and praise. Through our high priest Yeshua, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Hebrews 13:15-16. Every disciple of Yeshua should try to engage in daily prayer. If at all possible, we should pray 3 times a day, at the times of prayer, as the apostles did and taught. The book of Acts depicts them doing so, and the instructions in the Didache direct the Gentile disciples to offer up the Master's Prayer 3 times a day. By praying at the 3 times of prayer, we remind ourselves continually of God's presence. Again, think of yourself like the priesthood ministering at the altar. Time spent in regular prayer brings us into God's presence and reminds us of his presence through the day. The writer of the book of Hebrews refers to prayer as a sacrifice of praise. The term sacrifice of praise is based on our Torah portion, which introduces a specific type of peace offering called a sacrifice of thanksgiving, Leviticus 7:12. This is like what King David said about praising God in song and thanksgiving. "I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving, and it will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull with horns and hoofs." He wrote a whole book of praise songs to go with the sacrifices. the book of Psalms. David composed certain psalms as songs of thanksgiving to accompany thanksgiving offerings. He said, "I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders." The thanksgiving offering differed from a regular peace offering in that it had to be eaten on the same day it is sacrificed. The Passover sacrifice, which had to be eaten that same night with none left over until morning, was a sacrifice of thanksgiving. In order to consume the entire animal and the accompanying sacred loaves in a single day, the offerer might have to host a banquet. He would recruit family and friends to participate in the meal. The banquet gave the host the opportunity to offer his testimony, explaining why he had chosen to offer a thanksgiving offering. The large thanksgiving feast proclaimed the glory of the Lord. The Passover sacrifice was a form of the thanksgiving offering. The Passover Seder meal, at which the participants ate the sacrifice, was a thanksgiving feast. Over and over again, the apostles exhort us to give thanks to God. In every situation, we are to give thanks. Gratitude can transform us. It becomes the key to happiness and contentment. A grateful person can see the good in every situation and always find a reason to give thanks. An ingrate is never happy. Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Colossians 3:17. Without the temple, one may no longer ascend to God's house to offer up a thanksgiving offering, but we can still offer up sincere prayers of gratitude, psalms and songs of thanksgiving as a sacrifice of praise. King David says, "Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day." By continually giving thanks in every situation, we continually remind ourselves of the presence of God, and we learn to see His goodness at work in our lives. To compensate for the absence of the daily temple services, the sages recommend that Jewish people engage in acts of charity and loving kindness. The apostles offered the same instruction. They said, "And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Giving charity corresponds specifically to the votive offerings and free will offerings described in our Torah portion. The idea that acts of charity and loving kindness can substitute for the sacrifices is based on Hosea 6:6, in which the Lord says, "I delight in loving kindness rather than sacrifice." The statement should not be misunderstood to imply antithesis. Instead, it implies an order of preference. If God had to choose between one or the other, he would rather you showed some loving kindness. Our Master Yeshua made this principle a cornerstone of his halakhic legal philosophy. He measured every religious observance against this plumb line, making sure that he prioritized love for others, basic kindness and goodness, and acts of charity. When he was criticized for eating and drinking with sinners and tax collectors, he replied, "Go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." When criticized for setting aside ceremonial prohibitions for the sake of alleviating human suffering, he replied, "If you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent." From Yeshua's perspective, acts of loving kindness and charity fell under the commandment, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The principle in Hosea 6:6 sounds similar to Samuel's words to King Saul, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." 1 Samuel 15:22. From this, we learn that obedience to God's commandments can also be considered a compensation for the absence of the sacrifices. And Yeshua teaches us, there's no greater commandment than this, to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself, is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. In summary, we should understand ourselves, as the disciples of Yeshua, to be a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Yeshua the Messiah. We've learned that these spiritual sacrifices consist of daily Bible study, daily prayer at the times of prayer, with praise and thanksgiving, and daily acts of charity and loving kindness. By offering up these spiritual sacrifices consistently, day by day, we establish a daily routine and regular rhythm of worship that continually ushers us into God's dwelling presence, where the fire shall be kept burning continually on the altar. It is not to go out.
Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.